Joe-san. Brothers and sisters, it's such a privilege of mine once again to worship with you. It's always a privilege to come join you. And it was such a pleasure to sing those songs of worship with old and young together. How special. I think it's the sound of God's people when those voices mix together. It was wonderful. And thank you for our worship song leaders as well. How about I pray real quick and we will have a look at this passage together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are often wayward and forgetful of your goodness to us. We too often turn away and seek to live our own lives, even though we have been bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus. But you love us like a father, so please turn us to you now. Help us to see your character in your judgment and your mercy. Help us to see hope in your love. Amen. On a lonely stretch of shore, somewhere along a remote sea coast in New South Wales, there once stood a little life-saving station.
在新南威士州偏远海岸的某个地方，在一片荒凉的海岸上。
Now, this life-saving station was modest and plain, really not much more than a little hut and just a single boat, but it stood along a dangerous part of the coast where shipwrecks often happen, and it was crewed by a small but devoted group of volunteers who year after year go out and save countless lives.
但是他屹立在海岸线一个经常发生海难的危险地带。他是由一班忠诚的志愿者组成，他们年复一年地出去拯救无数人的生命。Over
time, this life-saving station gained more recognition. A local newspaper did a profile of it, and one year it was listed on TripAdvisor as a hidden gem tourist destination. As more and more people came to appreciate their work, more people wanted to be associated with them, and so some local restaurants donated to upgrade their little hut and buy them a bigger boat.
随着时间的推移，这个救生站逐渐得到更多的认可，当地的报纸对它进行了介绍。一年之后，它在TripAdvisor这个网站被列为隐藏的宝石，是一个旅游目的地。 越来越多个人开始欣赏这个救生站，更多的人亦都希望可以为它做多些嘢。咁因此，一啲当地嘅餐馆就为此捐款，将小木屋翻新，并且买咗艘新船。Soon
sponsorships started pouring in, and this life-saving station soon became a full-on social club, like an RSL. Some investors came in and built a beautiful new building with restaurants, conference rooms, golf range, even some pokies.
接着赞助开始涌入了，救生站很快就成为一个全面的社交俱乐部，就好像RSL一样。有人投资将救生站建成一个全新的大楼，内设有餐厅、会议室、高尔夫球场，甚至一些老虎机。
Now, one day, a big oil tanker ran into some rocks off the coast and sent out a distress call. The Lifesavers Club remembered that they had jobs to do, and so they sent out their boat. The rescue was a success, and they brought in a bunch of cold, wet, and half-drowned sailors that were dirty and sick and dripping gross seawater all over the lobby, the carpet in the lobby of their club. Now, some club members were having coffee nearby and saw them, and they were disgusted. So they called the manager over to complain. They said, "These people have no business here." The manager agreed and had them removed.
有一日，一艘大轮船在海岸边撞咗啲岩石，发出咗求救信号。救生员俱乐部知道责任所在，派出咗佢哋嘅船，营救好成功。佢哋救翻咗一批又冻又湿、污糟邋遢、剩翻半条人命嘅水手们。但系因为咁， 俱乐部大堂嘅地毡上全部系佢哋身上嗰啲呕吐物同埋海水，而一啲喺附近饮紧咖啡嘅俱乐部成员见到佢哋就觉得好反感，佢哋同经理抱怨话：点可以俾呢啲人喺呢度噶？咁于是经理同意咗将啲水手们搬开咗去第二度。
Imagine that. Imagine a lifesavers club telling a bunch of people whose lives they just saved that they don't belong here. Imagine an institution that has so lost their way that they have forgotten their original identity. Imagine a McDonald's that no one longer wanted to sell Big Macs, or a KFC that decided they would steam their chickens from now on.
我们假设一下, 一个救生员俱乐部, 告诉一班他们刚刚救回来的人说, 你们不属于这里的, 你觉得会怎样呢? 如果一个机构迷失了方向, 忘记了他们成立的初心, 又会怎样呢? 又假设, McDonald不再卖Big Mac, 或者KFC不再卖炸鸡, 而是蒸鸡, 会是一种什么情形?
Imagine in Israel that no longer worships God. Imagine a people of God who have forgotten God's name.
想象一下一个不再敬拜上帝的以色列, 想象一下上帝的子民完全忘记了上帝的名。
Now the book of Isaiah is all about people of God who have lost their identity. This is what God says to his people. He says, the ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. And so he says, even farm animals recognize their master, but my beloved children have forgotten me.
以赛亚书讲的是关于失去身份的上帝子民。上帝这样跟他的子民说，牛认识主人，驴认识主人的槽，以色列却不认识我，我的民却不留意。Israel
has lost their way. God says in verse 4 of chapter 1, woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great. They have forsaken the Lord, they have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and turned their backs on him.
以色列迷失了。上帝在第四节里面这么说，唉，犯罪的国民，担着罪孽的百姓有祸了。他们离开，离弃了耶和华，藐视以色列的圣者，与他生疏，往后退步。
Now today, as we look at the first chapter of Isaiah, I want us to look at three things, which are God's anger with his people, God's disgust with his people, and God's tenderness towards his people.
今天我们来看一下以赛亚书第一章，我想大家思考三件事，上帝对他子民的愤怒，上帝对他子民的厌恶，以及上帝对他子民的温柔。
Okay, so first, God's anger. In order to appreciate God's anger, you need to know about God's relationship with Israel. You need to understand that God was the one who formed the nation of Israel to begin with. Back in the book of Exodus, the Israelites had been in an abusive relationship with the Egyptians and had been enslaved by them, and God had come to free them.
首先我们了解上帝的愤怒。 为了明白上帝的回答，我们需要了解上帝和以色列人的关系。你需要明白，上帝就是那位一开始就建立以色列国的神。出埃及记书里面记载了以色列人备受埃及人的虐待，被他们奴役，是上帝带他们逃出埃及，释放了他们。
And in return, God tells the Israelites that their relationship was exclusive. I am yours, says God, but you also belong to me. And so you must obey me and keep my covenant. Israel was not free to choose their own purpose in life. They lived to worship God and to be priests to him. They lived to be God's children.
上帝话俾以色列人听，上帝同佢哋嘅关系系独有嘅。上帝话：我系你嘅，但系你亦都属于我，所以你必须服从我，并遵守我嘅盟约。以色列人系唔可以自由选择自己嘅人生目标，佢哋活着系为咗敬拜上帝同埋成为佢嘅祭司，系作为上帝嘅孩子们而生存嘅。
And when you begin to appreciate this, then you will understand that God's anger, it's not about breaking rules. It's about breaking relationship. God doesn't see his people like villains that he's eager to punish. He sees them like wayward children that have turned away from their father. And because of that, even in his anger, there is sadness, there's frustration.
当你开始理解呢一点嘅时候，你就会明白上帝嘅愤怒并唔系因为违反规则，而系因为关系嘅破裂。上帝并唔认为佢嘅子民系佢急需要惩罚嘅恶人，佢认为佢哋系就好似系背负咗父亲嘅任性孩子。正系因为咁，即使喺佢嘅愤怒中，佢亦有悲哀，有沮丧。
And so look with me at verse 5. Why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart is afflicted.
第五节咁讲， 你们为什么屡次勃逆， 还要受责打吗？ 你们已经满头疼痛， 全心发昏。
And you see, even amidst his anger, God shows concern for the welfare of his people. He asks, why are you doing this? Why do you persist in rebellion? Look at what it's doing to you. Your sin is killing you.
你可以看到, 即使在上帝的愤怒中, 上帝都表现出对他子民福祉的关心。 他在问, 你们为什么要这么做啊？ 为什么要继续叛逆啊？ 你知不知道你们自己在做什么啊？ 你们的罪是将你们逼向死亡啊。
Verse 6 says, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with olive oil.
第六节这么说, 从脚掌到头顶, 没有一处完全的尽是伤口。 青肿和新打的伤痕都没有修口，没有前果，也没有用膏滋润。
Now you see, at this point in Israel's existence, it had succumbed to all sorts of social malaise. Its leaders were corrupt, people were greedy and self-serving. No one cared about the poor or the less fortunate, or really anybody else besides themselves. Orphans and widows would starve, judges would accept bribes, and enterprising businessmen would rape the land to create more profit. And even despite his anger, God's heart was broken for his people who have lost their way. And even in his wrath, there is compassion.
这个时候的以色列已经屈服了于各种社会问题，他的领袖们腐败。 人们贪婪和自私，没有人关心穷人或者不幸的人，或者除了他们自己以外的任何人。孤儿寡妇饿死，法官收受贿赂，充满野心的商人掠夺土地，以获取更多的利益。这个时候，上帝尽管他是很生气，他都还是为他迷失的子民心碎，即使愤怒，亦都满有怜悯。
And so looking at this, let me ask you, what is your posture towards God? Do you fear him? Is he a cold and distant tyrant to you? Or do you know that he loves you? Do you know that even his anger comes from love?
那你对上帝的态度是什么呢? 你怕他吗? 对你来说,他是不是很冷漠? 遥远的暴君呢? 或者你知不知道他是很爱你的? 你知道吗? 即使他的愤怒都是来自他的爱。
Now in the next section of this chapter, God makes his disgust with his people known. So read with me from verse 11. He says, the multitudes of your sacrifices, what are they to me? Says the Lord. I have more than enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats.
现在在第一章的下一部分，上帝表明了他对子民的厌恶。我们一起来看第十一节。上帝说，你们所献的许多祭物与我何益呢？公绵羊的燔祭和肥畜的脂油我已经够了，公羊的血、羊羔的血、公山羊的血我都不喜悦。
In a rather surprising fashion, God tells his people that their sacrifices to him bring him no pleasure. How could that be? Well, he says in verse 14, stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I cannot bear your worthless assemblies.
以一种好令人惊讶的方式，上帝告诉他的子民，他们对他献祭并没有令上帝带来喜悦。为什么会这样呢？他在第三节这样说，你们不要献祭虚浮的供物，香品是我所憎恶的，月朔和安息日并宣召的大会也是我所憎恶的，作罪孽对右手严肃会我也不能容忍。
God calls all those acts of worship meaningless offerings. All those sacrifices and festivals and gatherings are empty, futile, hollow gestures. The Israelites have become really, really good at maintaining outward piety, while inwardly they had become morally rotten. And so God had become disgusted by his people, especially by their religious acts, because their sacrifices just highlight their hypocrisy and expose them for how insincere and corrupt they have become.
上帝称这些敬拜行为为无意义的献祭，所有那些祭祀、节日和聚会都是空洞的、徒劳的和无意义的行为。以色列人已经变得非常非常之善于保持外表的虔诚，而内心却变得道德败坏。上帝厌恶他的子民，尤其是他们的宗教行为，因为他们的献祭只会令他们觉得，只会更突出他们的虚伪，揭露他们是几咁不真诚和腐败。
Imagine a Judite.Who put his neighbor out of business to increase his own profits, and then goes and tithes a tenth of those ill-begotten profits to God. Imagine a judge or a magistrate who uses his power to make himself rich because he accepts bribes and rules against the downtrodden and the poor. Imagine then that you see that same magistrate lead the worship service on the Lord's Day.See, the Israelites don't care about what God cares about, and God has had enough. His words here are practically dripping with contempt.
你们可不可以想象一下，一个人令到他的邻居倒闭以增加自己的利益，然后呢将这些不义之财的十分之一献给上帝。又想象一下一个法官或者法治官利用他的职权使他自己自负，收受贿赂，并且对受欺压的穷人进行裁决。再想想，你会见到同一个法官在主日主持礼拜仪式。以色列人已经不再关心上帝所关心的，同埋上帝的充足。上帝的话在这里充满着藐视。
So verse 14, he says, your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being.They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them.
在十四节咁讲，我心里憎恶、恨恶，我都以为麻烦，我担当便不耐烦。上帝话：如果你哋喺生活上唔尊重我，你哋点解要嚟敬拜我咧？你个爱冇诚意，我受够啦。呢个就系以色列人迷失咗方向嘅意思。
God says, why should your worship honor me if your lives do not? Your love is insincere and I am weary of it. And this is what it means then that the Israelites have lost their way and because of that God turns his face away from them.
不好意思，翻译早咗吓。上帝话：如果你哋喺生活上唔尊重我，点解仲要敬拜我咧？你哋啲爱一啲都冇诚意，我受够啦。呢、这个就系以色列人迷失咗方向嘅意思。正因为咁，上帝嘅面转离开佢哋啦。
These words here, they're some of the most vicious words you will find in the entire Bible. And so I have a question for you. Does this make you uncomfortable? Because honestly, it sure does for me. I think they're hard for us to hear because we can all relate to them now, can't we?
这些话是在 你是会在整本圣经里面找到的一些最恶毒的话。我想问你一个问题，这些话会不会令到你不舒服呢？它令到我心感不安，这些话语很难接受，因为它所说的和我们都好像似曾相识。
Now, for those who are feeling insecure, there is a word of hope and comfort. Because you see, despite what we just read, God is not just all about vengeance and wrath. And so let me tell you a story.
我们现在讲讲神的温柔。对于那些开始感到不安的人来讲，上帝的话又带来了希望和安慰。不理我们刚才读到什么，上帝不单单是关于复仇和愤怒。我现在跟大家讲个故事。
Here's the story. In the city of Shkodër, Albania, over in southern Europe, there is a young boy named Christian Luli who lives in prison in his own home. Christian has not set foot outside his home since he was 7 years old, and that was more than 10 years ago. And he passes his time playing video games and sketching. He reads at a primary level because he can't attend school. He really has no hope of having any kind of social life, or any life for that matter.
在南欧 Albania 的一个城市叫做 Shkodër， 有一个小朋友叫做 Christian Lilu， 他被囚禁在自己的家里面。从十几年前他七岁的时候开始，他就未踏出过家门。他是靠着玩电子游戏和画画来打发时间，因为没有办法上学，他只有小学的水平。因此在他来说，没有任何社交生活或者相关生活的能力和希望。
Why does Christian live in prison in his own home? Well, because a long time ago, his father had killed another man. And at this part of the country, they still practice an ancient ritual they call the kanun, or otherwise known as a blood feud. See, under the rules of the kanun, if you kill someone, the family members of the person you killed is allowed to hunt you down and pay for their life with yours. But not only that, if for some reason you, the murderer, can't be reached, or, you know, if you died before they could get revenge, then they are actually allowed to hunt down any male members of your family and pay for your sins with their blood.
为什么 Christian 这个小男孩会被囚禁在自己家呢？因为很久以前他的父亲杀了另一个人。而在这个国家的这个地区，他们仍然实行着一种古老的习俗，称为 Canon， 也都是叫做血海深仇。根据 Canon 的规定，如果你杀了人，被杀人的家人可以追捕你，并且要你以命偿命。不单止是这样，出于某种原因，作为凶手的你，如果是因为没有办法被寻获，或者是在他们找到你报仇之前就死了的话，那他们就有权去追捕你家的任何一个男丁，用他的血作为代价为凶手补偿。
And so poor Christian Luli, he never did anything wrong, but because of the sins of his father, there is a price on his head. The kanun says blood must be paid with blood. His mom has sent mediators over to the other family, seeking forgiveness and reconciliation, but they've rejected them all. They don't want to forgive. They don't want peace. They only want vengeance. They want blood.
就因为咁，可怜嘅 Christian Lilu， 佢从未做过任何嘅错事，但系因为父亲嘅罪孽，佢成咗替代品，付出咗代价。Canon 讲嘅系血债必须血偿。Canon 嘅 Christian 嘅妈妈揾咗好多调解人去到嗰个家庭，寻求宽恕同埋和解，但系佢哋都拒绝咗。佢哋唔想宽恕，佢哋唔想要和平，佢哋要嘅系报复。
Now you might hear this story and be horrified and think to yourself, how barbaric. You might be shocked that there are still parts of this world that we live in that lives this way. But you know what? The truth is, this is a story that illustrates human nature in its rawest form.
听完这个故事之后，你可能会感到很震惊。而且可能会认为咁野蛮都得，你可能会惊讶于呢个世界仍然有啲地方有啲人以咁样嘅生活方式去生活。但系事实上，咁样嘅故事就系以最原始嘅形式说明咗人性。
The human heart understands violence. It understands vengeance, but it does not understand.Grace.
人心理解暴力，佢亦都知道要复仇，但系人心唔懂得恩典。
God is not like us. God is not savage like us. God is just and merciful. God can exact vengeance.And still promise restoration.
但是上帝跟我们不一样，上帝不像我们这样野蛮，上帝是公正的和仁慈的，上帝可以报复，但是同时他也承诺修复关系。
And that's the hope that we have here in verse 16. God pleads with them to repent.Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow.
这个就是我们在十六节里面所得的希望。上帝恳求他们，你们要洗洁，你们要洗涤自洁。从我眼前除掉你们的恶行，要止住作恶，学习行善，寻求公平，解救受欺压的，给孤儿伸冤，为寡妇辩屈。
God pleads for his people to return to his ways, to return to his worship, to return to his rule. And then he makes them a promise.If they repent and return to him, he will restore them and make them clean.
上帝恳求他的子民回归他的道路，回归对他的敬拜，回到他的统治，然后他会向他们承诺，如果他们悔改并回到他那里，他就会使他们复原，令他们洁净。
And so verse 18, he says, Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool.
第十八节咁讲，你们来，我们彼此辩论。你们的罪虽像朱红，必变成雪白；虽红如丹颜，必白如羊毛。
And so today, I invite you to consider God's true character. Is God cruel, or is he compassionate? Is he eager to pour out his wrath, or is he frustrated with a people who have lost their way? In human life, blood must be paid with blood. All we know is vengeance, but God does not operate like that.
今日我邀请大家思考上帝的真实品格。上帝是残酷的呢，抑或是充满慈爱呢？他是急于倾尽怒火， 定是他对迷失的人感到沮丧呢？人类的一生所想的是血债血偿，我们只是知道报仇，但是上帝不是这样运作的。
Is God angry at your sin? Yes. But does he want to crush you? No, no. God desires your repentance. God wants to see your restoration.
上帝对你的罪恼怒吗？是的。但是他是不是想整冧你呢？并非如此。上帝渴望你的忏悔，上帝希望同你修复关系。
Now, this is how we know God can be trusted. Because of something that happened about 700 years after this prophecy was written. You see, in verses 5 and 6, what we just read, God says that because of their rebellion, his people are beaten, injured, and afflicted. Their sin was killing them. But later on, 52 chapters later on in this book, Isaiah records another prophecy. Isaiah prophesies that one day there will be a single man who will be beaten and injured and afflicted. Now, you can't see it in your Bibles there because the English/Chinese translation obscures it. But those three verbs, beaten, injured, afflicted, are used here in chapter 1 are the very same that we find in chapter 53. Isaiah says this man will be crushed for our iniquities. And Isaiah says one day this man will come and our sin will kill him.
我们看到上帝是值得信赖的，是因为这个预言写成了700年之后发生的一件事。在5-6节，上帝说，由于他们的反叛，他的子民被鞭打、伤害、折磨，他们的罪正在扼杀他们。但之后在后面的52章，以赛亚记载了另一个预言。以赛亚预言说，有一天有一个人，这个人将被鞭打、伤害、折磨的人。当然你看不到这些字眼，因为中文英文的翻译有点模糊。但是第一章这里使用的这三个动词，鞭打、伤害、折磨，跟我们之后在53章里面看到的是完全相同的。以赛亚书说，这个人将会被压伤，因为我们的罪而被压伤。以赛亚说，有一天这个人会来，但是我们的罪会杀死他。
So Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 says, Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed.
以赛亚书53:4-5讲，他诚然担当我们的忧患，背负我们的痛苦，我们却以为他受责罚，被神击打苦待了。那自他为我们的过犯受害，为我们的罪孽压伤。因他受的刑罚，我们得平安；因他受的鞭伤，我们得医治。
And so, this is how I know that God desires your repentance, that He can deliver on his promise to wash you and make you clean, make you white as snow. It's because Jesus was crushed for your sins. And now through faith, you can share in his sinlessness. By trusting in Jesus, we have hope. So come to him. He is perfectly just. He is abounding in love. Come and be lost no more. Be found in him and in him find peace.
由此可见，上帝渴望我们的悔改，他可以实现他的承诺，就是洗净我们，使我们干净，令我们洁白如雪。因为耶稣基督已为我们的罪受压伤，现在我们可以凭信心分享他的无罪。藉着信靠耶稣，我们满有希望，所以来吧，来寻求他，他是完全公正的， 佢充满慈爱，嚟啦，唔好再迷失啦，翻翻到上帝里边，喺佢里边揾到平安。
Let me pray for us. I'll be praying the lyrics of a hymn. Will you be translating? Okay. Let us pray. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. Amen.
我哋祷告系一首圣诗嚟祷告，在天父上帝嘅宝座前，我有一个强烈而完全嘅请求。一位伟大嘅祭司，佢嘅名字是爱，佢一直活着并为我祈求。我的名字刻在佢手上，我的名字刻在佢心上。我知道佢站在天堂，没有任何事可将我与佢隔绝。
Amen。
Thank you. Bye-bye.